I'll get you a tape.
I'd like to call the House Resource Committee meeting to order. For the record, members in attendance are myself, Representative Chairman, and Representative Conklin. Also, Representative Stringer, Representative Davidson, Representative Sun, and Representative Pierce. Today, we'll be taking up House Bill 108, which is an act relating to aquaculture. This is our, fourth hearing on the bill. I'd like to welcome all sites and also welcome those in the audience. And today, we'll be taking testimony from the general public, and these next 3 days, that's what I'd like to be doing. We've had a general overview of the bill in committee, and we've had a lot of agencies before us. And from what I see in the committee, we have a lot of questions of the different agencies, and I think we have a lot of questions in general. So in taking testimony today from different groups around the state, I want them to keep in mind that we do still have a lot of questions, and hopefully we can take their questions, your questions and concerns into consideration, and if we can't answer them, we'll definitely take them down. And I did mention to the committee and audience that if they would like to have the committee hear from anyone in particular, to please let us know. And I want to emphasize that, that we're doing the arranging here, and we'll put the people online. And I just want to assure people that if we haven't heard from somebody, that we will be getting to them. But I think that the public has been waiting quite a few days here, so I'd like to get to them, and that's what I'd like to do in the next 3 days. But if we have time on Thursday, we'll get into maybe some other agency like Commerce and some other so-called experts or specialists. And then also from, I'd like to encourage the fishermen that are online to keep listening, even though that they do testify today, to go ahead and just keep listening, because we'll probably have a lot more information coming before the committee. Also, if the committee members have any questions of the participants, please let me know, and we'll have those questions in the first.
This is the moderator, and Dino Dunham, are you online?
Tokine has joined you.
I'm expecting two or three people, but Tokine, they have not arrived yet.
Thank you, David, and thank you, Dunham. We're going to go ahead with Tokine right now. Tokine, are you there?
Right, I am. This is Sylvia Garrity calling from Tokine, which is on the west coast of Prince of Wales Island. Representative Sun is familiar with the area. I'm representing a group of people out here through an organization called Alaska's Responsible Resource Management. And the vast majority of the people involved with our organization are subsistence users, and we have some very, very deep concerns. Shall I just go ahead and list our concerns now? Okay, this is on the radio, by the way, and so I can't hear anything from your side while I'm talking on the radio. Basically, our concerns are that we feel that there has been no citizen participation in this entire aquaculture, the entire procedure. And in our area, there have been three permits issued for oyster farms, and one more under consideration now, and I understand there are a number of them, quite a few of them, that are possibilities. And we have had nothing to say whatsoever about where these things are located. And in fact, they do impact us heavily. And the North Sierra Management Area Plan, which is a Forest Service plan, is now underway. In fact, in the final stages, we work with the state DNR Thailand plan, and we feel that we should plan now to avoid problems later, and that we don't see that happening. We see that the problems happening. They're issuing those permits. They're not asking anybody what other uses are already in existence for certain areas. They're removing areas from key anchorages. They're putting oyster farms in key anchorages, which could be a matter of life and death if a fishing boat can't get in there when they have to get in there. If there's a great big oyster farm in there where they have to anchor up to get out of the weather. The subsistence of lifestyle depends heavily on being able to use these areas, and some of them are, in fact, the ones that are being issued are the ones that are key areas, because that's why they're issuing permits. You know, that's why people want to move in there, is because they're beautiful, isolated little locations that now are used for trapping and hunting, gathering, fishing, clamming, crabbing, and all of those things are going to be removed from the subsistence user once aquaculture permit is issued. That is a single resource permit, and it removes that area from other uses. And the thing that is really concerns teaches us is that we have nothing to say about this. This is happening to us, and we have nothing to say about it. We feel that the permit process, the state permit process, does not have a specific place for public input or for handling public concerns. And you can write. There's no guarantee that anybody's going to read your letter or that anything's going to be done about it. It just is an exercise in futility trying to access the permit process. There's conflicts on the upland. If our conflicts on the upland uses, the Forest Service has recognized the importance of the subsistence lifestyle for the entire Sea Otter Sound area. And now they say that the prime consideration for any use of those uplands, the tidelands and the uplands, is for the subsistence user. Now the state comes along and says, well, we're going to allow people to put in an oyster farm. We're going to give them a permit. And then in 3 years or so, if they can say they're viable, if they sold, what, 10 oysters? There's no, who decides what's viable? Then they can build a house on the beach. But every single commercial fisherman that lives on a boat or lives in a float house is also a commercial operation, and he should have just as much opportunity to build a house on the uplands. It should be either all or none, and it shouldn't be just an exclusive little oyster farm permit holder or aquaculture permit holder that's allowed to build a house. And in fact, I personally know people that say that that's why they want to get an aquaculture permit, is so that they can build a house on the beach in their favorite cove. And it's not that the people in this area do not approve of aquaculture. We do. And we have identified over 20 sites as being good, possible aquaculture sites. But nobody wants to hear that. They want to issue the permits now, and then if there's our conflicts later, then maybe we'll work on resolving them. But we think that's putting the cart before the horse.
Is that the end of your testimony, Joaquin?
Yes, that is, unless you have some questions.
Sylvia, I just want to say thank you for getting on the radio this morning and say hello to all the folks out there.
Okay, John. Yeah, thanks a lot. I will do that for sure.
Okay, thank you,
Sylvia. It's all three or four.
So your questions or concerns were some of the questions the committee raised when the Department of Natural Resources was before us. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Dillingham, this is the moderator in Juneau. Do you have anybody there to testify yet?
Not at this time, and I did receive a call from Togiak, and they're going to hang on then if someone should arrive. They are not online right now.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to move on to New Aylin. New Aylin, are you online?
Yes, I'm online, but I haven't received anybody either yet.
All right, thank you. We're going to go on to Kodiak since we just heard about Togiak. Kodiak, this is Juno. Are you online?
Yeah, my name's Dave Schrader. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can, Mr. Schrader.
Okay, well, good morning, Madam Chairman and committee members. I appreciate this opportunity to express some views here. I'm a fisherman here in Kodiak. I fish for crab and bull, halibut, various things like that. But I hadn't been really familiar with this mariculture bill and the finer points at all until I came and was listening to this Resources Committee teleconference last week. And just from the point of view of a fisherman, I recognize there are quite a big area for potential conflicts of commercial fishing grounds. Most specifically, it seems like with salmon hook sites and existing ones and Dungeness grounds. And I'm concerned that there isn't adequate mechanism to provide input into the permitting system that would allow for the orderly development of this mariculture and still provide for continued uninterrupted existence of the existing commercial fisheries. I would like to also mention that there's blackcod fishery is just now getting going, so a lot of fishermen are going to be absent for that, and also herring fishing starts Kodiak on the 15th, so that may account for a seeming lack of response from the fishing industry in the Kodiak area. At any rate, I appreciate and recognize the need for an overall plan, state policy, been stated in your by various departments and so forth and by the Cooper administration. And I also appreciate that the chairman in opening the teleconference last week and also stated that she felt that things were moving too fast and that there needed to be close examination of these different conflicts and so forth. And this was seemed to be echoed by the administration, the Cooper administration, and various departments. And, well, I feel that way, too. I just, I feel there is a need to prioritize the uses of these different areas that will come into conflict. And most specifically, as was stated earlier in testimony, there needs to be a mechanism where the public can be solicited more aggressively and provide more effective input into what sites are selected here. This is not only for commercial grounds, but fishing grounds, but also interruption of vital anchorages. There is already permits available, a permitting system. It's kind of with a shotgun approach here and through a serious bureaucratic miasma of sorts there that people can wind up with, or groups can wind up with mariculture permits. One example that concerned me is it was pointed out to me last week in the Kodiak Daily Mirror in some very fine print in the classified ad section that a permit had been requested to for the development of a scallop farm in Kemp Bay on Kodiak Island. And I don't know who in the world ever reads those little things, but that, I understand, is only going to be published one time. And that's it as far as advertising and requesting input on that particular situation. Well, I don't know if there's going to be conflicts or not. I don't know where it's going to be or how big or anything, but I do know that that has been a very vital anchorage in the past for crab fleet and shrimp fleet, salmon fleet. List is long on that, but at any rate, to clog it up with a scallop farm just might put some lives at risk, and I would like to see a system that would allow for greater input. It seems to me that the advisory committee and board of fishery system would definitely provide an ideal forum for that system, and since the conflicts would definitely be, most obviously be with the commercial fishery system or industry, that it would be only right to include the Board of Fishery and Advisory Committee, which is an existing forum, and you wouldn't have to go to the greater expense and time of developing a whole other expensive infrastructure that would cater to the needs of the mariculture industry and so forth. So that, the elimination of the Board of Fisheries from the process, as seems to be designed in this bill currently, would, is not appropriate at all, and I would urge the committee to examine that option there. Another thing that was brought up in a discussion last night by another fisherman was the fact that here there's been this tremendous infrastructure and expense and all kinds of politics going around in the development of limited entry for the salmon fishery, and we've got a bunch of commercial fishermen dependent on that industry currently. And then the state is suggesting possibly farming, and which would provide direct competition for the markets there. And I really haven't explored that area too much. I just like to mention it. Seems like kind of I don't know if ironic is the right word, but it's certainly a situation worthy of note. I'll wind up here in a second. I just also noted that the intended design and discussion from many quarters is to encourage the development of mom-and-pop mariculture farms. And I don't see that mom-and-pop would have the best shot at starting something like that from ground zero without having to have some kind of subsidy by the state or other mom and pop would be more dependent on the state for research and development contributions of one kind or another, and to provide testing and so forth. And I just don't, in the discussions of whether or not to institute a state income tax, and with the budget cutbacks in the Department of Fish and Game and other departments in administration there, I don't particularly want to see cutbacks in existing programs for the sake of taking a gamble on whether or not mom and pop can get their scallop farm off the ground, especially if I'm paying that state income tax. Let me see. I better wind things up here. I did notice during the conferences last week that several of the departments were expressing some reservations in that their fiscal notes they felt might be a little bit low. And I would just like to say that I think that the costs of something like this, where there are so many unknowns, can I definitely be lower for the state? In the beginning, there are two appearances right now in the planning stages, and that there are always hidden costs that crop up, and I just don't want to see the state have to get into having to pay something further on down the line, and that includes me, that a little bit of more planning and forethought would have avoided. Apparently the British Columbia guys drove into it with both feet there and are really kind of suffering some consequences now. I don't know a whole lot about that area, but it seems like that was they dove into it and provided permits and got the industry going without a plan ahead of them. Well, I better let somebody else talk. I appreciate this opportunity to express myself at this time of morning.
Thank you for your comments, Dave. And also, your comments are well taken about the fishermen not being able there to testify. We found that anytime we set the hearing schedule, there would be a conflict. Also, next week, as you know, the Board of Fish meetings are coming up, and so we could go on and on there. But we do have a lot of information that was sent in, like from Petersburg and so on, so I appreciate that. And also, I mentioned earlier something about so-called experts, and I didn't want that to be a derogatory remark. I think mostly what I was meaning is that we do have all these experts and specialists and all this information before us, but that's not saying that this information is, you know, just cut and dry or set. And I think that we have a lot of natural experts in this whole state, so that was my meaning there.
Is there anybody else in Kodiak to testify?
In Kodiak. Moderator, this is Zoe Dodge, judge from Brookside. I can't break the radio from dead. Somebody has to up a phone in order to terminate this. The radio is tied up.
I'm sorry, whoever that was
on the line. Someone has to hang up a telephone on that end in order to free the radio. The teleconference is tying up the entire radio system.
Is this Tokeen?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We'll take care of that. Is Kodiak have anybody else to testify?
Yeah, this is Mary Jacobs here in Kodiak. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, Mary. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a commercial fisherman, too.
Got to get the bridge and disconnector.
I have a lot of the same reservations as Dave Schrader. Some of the things I will say will be repetitious, but I'll go ahead and say them. But I feel like the state water is a public domain, and I would have to resist any push towards ownership of these tidelands. I feel that this is the first step to a possessive attitude towards the tidewaters that would conflict with my usage of these areas in commercial fisheries. You know, here in Kodiak, I guess everybody knows we didn't want limited entry, but now we have it, and we have a certain ownership of the resources. And I guess I'd have to resist anything that would threaten that resource. And farms, in my mind, would have a direct conflict with the wild fisheries. Their placement in the bays and the waterways, that salmon and Dungeness and the fishermen, you know, we all use those areas. It's real critical. We don't have the same isolated strains of Norway. I think Norway was a situation, Japan was a situation where they have farms when their wild stocks were already gone. Well, we have some pretty healthy wild stocks here, and that should be our primary interest in keeping those. I don't know, I guess if there's any mariculture law, I guess there is a need for it. We do need to have some direction, but we've got to state in there that that the wild fish and the past users should have the primary usage of these areas. I have a large investment in this area, in this fishery. I would like any mariculture permit application to go to the Fish and Game Board. Conflicts from the uses of the tidewaters should be addressed before permits issued. If there are no conflicts because of uninhabited areas without salmon runs, I wouldn't see any problem. Herring Dungeness fishermen could speak to their objections through the Fish and Game Board, and if there is a conflict, at least it could be brought up and maybe dealt with. Maybe it's just a placement of a farm that would be a conflict. Maybe it could be moved over a half a mile and there wouldn't be any conflict, but no. Those things have to be addressed, and the Fish and Game Board is the best way to address those grievances.
Does that complete your testimony, Mary?
Well, I'm going to keep going here a little bit. I just want to say that, you know, to reiterate that the tidewaters are public domain. I don't want to see this short-circuited. You know, if in the bill, the version of the bill that I've read, the commissioner would be the one to issue the permits. Well, the commissioner is appointed by the governor, and in my mind, that's too distant from responsibility to the general public. I also have some problem with Fish and Game Fund being put into this mariculture. And, you know, when we're getting our fishing game cut, we're losing researchers, we're having viable hatcheries being shut down, and, you know, I don't understand cutting existing programs, which I consider good programs, in order to put money into something that hasn't been tried out under our circumstances anyway. You know, there's just one of the costs that I could think of. If the Fish and Game has to pay for the testing, and, you know, you've got people working on testing, you have lab technicians, you have just the air flights around the state because of the distances that have to be traveled in this area, it's going to be a pretty expensive program, I think. Okay, that's about all I wanted to say here. I sure appreciate being able to testify.
Is there anyone else in Kodiak to testify?
Yes, just a moment.
All right, and while we're taking this brief break, I would like to remind all sides that we do only have until 10 o'clock this morning for testimony, so if you can't get your testimony in a few minutes, I urge you to go ahead and send written testimony to the committee also. Go ahead, Kodiak.
It's I'm with the Kodiak Mariculture Association in Kodiak. I have a few comments on the bill, and I think that we need to clarify what the bill does. If, for instance, it should be realized that several types of shellfish farming are currently legal in Alaska. So the bill is not legalizing something that's not already legal. The legalization of pen rearing of salmon is a different question. I think the whole question and most of the reservations come down to the permitting process. And I, too, have reservations about that. And I think that unless that is resolved, any potential mariculture industry will remain in conflict with the commercial fishing industry. But, in fact, I don't think that conflict necessarily exists. It was brought out last night that the mariculture is basically an ally of the commercial fishermen in hoping to preserve the environment and keep keep it intact and healthy. I think that there are a lot of areas around Kodiak. I've been in this area for 10 years and both commercial fished and done other activities on the water over the entire island. And I know personally that there are many areas where a shellfish farm could be placed with no conflict. And so the whole question comes down to how can we find those areas? And so I would like to see in the bill an extension of the permitting process that would provide more public access, allow a longer comment period. I'm a little bit wary of having the Board of Fisheries Fisheries Advisory Boards have complete control over the process, because I'm a little bit afraid that if there's unreasoned resistance to mariculture, that it could be, discriminated against in that way. So if that were the case, I would like to see mariculture seats on that board. I'm a little bit afraid of any industry that says another industry can't come in because of grandfather rights. I think that that the water is a common access, and that would include shellfish farming. If someone chooses not to go fishing and to go shellfish farming, that's their prerogative. There's been a long history of shellfish farming in the state. It goes back to 1910, and as far as I know, none of those people who have done any of that have asked for state funding. It's a bad argument to use that you shouldn't put any state funding into a newly developing industry, because it comes back on one. For instance, I didn't see any hue and cry about TSP testing that went on commercial clam beaches in Swickshack to certify those beaches. It was a tremendously expensive program that went on for several years. Because that was a commercial fishery, I didn't see any hue and cry over it. Now we have aquaculturists coming in asking perhaps for some of the same service, and there's a hue and cry over it. And as it turned out, the laser clam fishery on Swickshack failed. All that money essentially is down the tubes. So I think we have to be very careful in limiting access to mariculturists, because sometimes the arguments come full circle. With regard to state funding, I don't see the mariculturists asking for anything to start mom and pop operations or whatever. I know that there are 20 oyster farms in Southeastern, and those have been started with individual resources, and people even have to pay transportation for their samples to go to Palmer. And so I don't see any state resources being spent at all. The scallop culture project, the state put in $300,000. They got $1 million from the Japanese in matching funds. And so, again, I think the state's coming out ahead. So I guess I want to finish up by saying that the whole crux of that bill is the permitting process, and unless that can be addressed to the satisfaction of both mariculturists, that is to give secure leases once a site has been given the okay, and also to commercial fishermen, so that there's no conflict. I think the bill shouldn't go through this year unless that can be addressed. I don't think we're in any hurry for it. Thank you.
The committee appreciates your comments. Thank you very much.
All right. Is there anybody else in Kodiak to testify?
No, there's no one else. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kodiak. We're going to move on to Port Lyons. Port Lyons, are you online?
Kind of like Kinsley's plan.
Yes, Port Lyons is online, and we have two people that will testify.
All right, go ahead, Port Lyons. And again, I will remind you to keep your testimony to a limited time.
Good morning. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Port Lyons, the mariculture capital of Alaska, and I want to go on record as solidly supporting the concept of House Bill 108. My name is Tim Ward. The testimony from the Prince of Wales Island and Kodiak Island so far dramatically underscore the need for House Bill 108 so that orderly development of mariculture can occur in Alaska. Mariculture is a means of providing excellent employment opportunities in rural Alaskan communities. The rural communities of southwest Alaska have a very high unemployment rate, while the people in these communities are very skilled workmen. communities and give them an incentive and the means to remain in their home communities. Let's not crawl under the bed and hide from the future. Let's go out and greet the future and embrace it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
The next person from Fort Lyons, may go ahead and testify now.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's Bob Nelson. I kind of looked over your House Bill 108, and I think that's a start on getting control of some of this permitting system we need. I think what it'll do is it'll provide a system to control the areas that people are interested in establishing mariculture sites, set aside the conflict between commercial fishermen. I'm a commercial fisherman myself, and I've been since I was 5 years old. I see a great need for the raising of scallops, oysters. These wild-run salmon aren't going to be here forever. I think House Bill 108 will provide a system to where, like somebody had a concern, where it'll be scattered all over the place. This would kind of take care of having them just here in their, maybe back around here in Kodiak Island, the conflict between the commercial fishermen and the gillnetters before, of the gillnet sites going out on king fisheries, that was settled between the fishermen here. I think if there's a problem with fins, with the raising of salmon that's in the bill, I personally think it should be kind of sit on the shelf so it don't hold up the process of the growing of oysters and maybe getting the scallop started. Having a little hard time finding some spat yet, but I'm optimistic. I think we'll find it. And I think mariculture in a long period of time would provide jobs for the community of Port Lyons here over a long period of time. Port Lyons just depends on municipal assistance, revenue sharing, and with the state budgets the way they are. I think we got to get on with a system for this mariculture bill. Good morning and thank you.
Thank you very much, Bob, and we appreciate your comments.
Is there anybody else in Port Lyons to testify this morning?
No, there isn't. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Port Lyons. We're going to move on to Sandpoint now. Sandpoint, are you online?
Yeah, we are. I have three people here that are ready to testify.
Please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Paul Grunzel, a commercial fisherman. I'd like to say hello to Representative Cotton, Representative Herman, and other committee members. Just about everyone I've talked to in this area is against House Bill 108, as it now reads. We're very nervous about some of the provisions in there. We're not against some forms of mariculture, shellfish, oysters, scallops, shrimp, those kind of things. We don't want to disrupt an existing industry or one industry which may have some potential, and that's salmon farming. We're against the aspect of salmon farming, and I think this bill would include salmon farming. But that's all I'd like to say is that everyone here is against, that I've talked to, is against House Bill 108. Thank you.
Yeah, Paul, a question for you. I was wondering if you got a chance to see the marketing report by Ron Romness or other marketing information, okay?
No, I haven't received that. And it may have come to me, but I've been real busy getting ready to block out and haven't had much time to do much reading in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, I'll make sure some of that information gets out to you guys.
Thank you very much.
The next person, please go ahead.
I'd like to say good morning to Representative Herman and my name is Martin Benderson. I'm a commercial fisherman. I'm at Sandpoint. I concur with what Mr. Grunzel said in relation to the House Bill 108. We are definitely not supportive as it is written. I've heard a few comments on title ownership conflicts. I agree 100% with
that. Also, on a long-term outlook, we have to consider the economics involved as rural Alaska depends strictly on natural stocks, mainly salmon as one. Of course, you've got all the other shellfish stocks that we do participate in also. And I don't think there's enough information available at this time. I'm not totally against certain portions of the mariculture program, but I've also talked to a few other people in different communities that are not that do not have the opportunity to participate in a teleconference on account that they don't have any stations there, and we've talked on this considerably, and they have the same hope to do here at some point. That's all I have to say.
Does that complete your testimony,
Mr. Gunderson? Thank you.
Would the next person from Sandpoint please go?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Dave Osterbach, and I'd like to say good morning to Representative Herman and Cotton. And I'm also, I also have some problems with House Bill 108 in its present form. I believe that the past history of aquatic farming in Alaska has been very sporadic and inconsistent at best. I think they've had some fair results in Prince William Sound, and I think it's been very poor in Southeastern, and definitely very poor and very negligent in the illusions that demonstrated in sight of Cool Bay over the years, Steve. I believe that the natural stocks that we have in Alaska are the strongest in America. And I believe with continued good management, increased domestic marketing, these need to continue. And I believe we need to support and we need to stress the importance of high quality standards on what Alaska provides in the world of seafood today. Do not support aquatic farming and stocks that are naturally strong. Do not support shellfish farming in land unless technology has fully demonstrated that it is a safe and healthy industry. Alaska continues to demonstrate year after year that red tides are a continual problem to our coastal areas. And I believe incidents such as these affect the total marketing ability of all of our natural stocks that we work year after year to build. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you very much. Sandpoint, is there anyone? Excuse me.
No, I was going to say, I'll wait until everybody's finished here.
Okay. Is there anybody else at Sandpoint to testify?
No, that's all we have today.
Yeah, I just wanted, this is Sam Cotton. I just wanted to say hi to Paul, Martin, and David. Nice to hear from y'all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandpoint. I'd like to go on to King Cove. I don't think they're online, but if you are, please move on. Okay, we'll go on. Is Unalakleet online? All right, we're going to go back to Dillingham now. Is anybody in Dillingham ready to testify?
Yes, we have three people, and they all wish to testify.
All right, thank you. Go ahead with your first person to testify.
Good morning, General. My name is Robin Samuelson. I'm a commercial fisherman here in Dillingham. And I'm totally against House Bill 108. We have a fishery here in Bristol Bay that's in a transition stage. And we have enough natural predators to on our fish. And I don't think we need another one that we're going to create ourselves in a pen. I have no problems with the crustacean part of the bill, but as far as salmon goes, I see it just as another potential species conflicting with our own here in Bristol Bay. And one can of salmon could bring the world's biggest fishery down on its knees that has botulism in it. I see it as fragile at its best. We're still controlled by the Japanese in Bristol Bay. The almighty yen controls us, controls our processors. I see the Japanese taking over the pen rearing end of things. They seem to have the technology, the money. The legislature has money available. I think they ought to put it into current current existing program statewide, and our natural stocks, it seems that in your budget cuts, we come up with different programs to further enhance the fisheries. But we forget the livelihood of, for the last 100 years of us in Bristol Bay and throughout Alaska was natural stocks. In your budget cuts, we think we should cut the management on our natural stocks. I say, we're on the wrong side of the eight ball on that one. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Robin.
The next person to testify from Dillingham can go ahead.
Good morning. This is Niles Anderson. Good morning, Adelaide and Sam and the rest of you that are there. Good morning to the rest of you people online. I'm testifying this morning as a concerned citizen from the point of view of the city of Dillingham. I serve on the Dillingham City Council. One of the things that we see happening over here that is we feel detrimental to the overall fishery is that the state of Alaska seems to be backing away from its natural stocks. And we believe that the state of Alaska needs to be concentrating more. We believe very strongly that if the natural fishery is managed properly, it's going to have money to do so. And I think a major investment has to be made in the natural stock before we start looking at other ways of raising and producing other ways or doing other things. I'm not against new technology. I'm not against new ways of doing things. But I think that there has to be more thought given to the potential damage that could occur if you were to adopt a mariculture policy without looking at the various negative potential damage that could be done. One of the things that's happening in Dillingham right now is that we have many of the onshore processors moving offshore. There is no concerted statewide effort to bring those offshore processes back onshore. Last year we lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 jobs onshore. We're going to lose probably another 75 or 100 because Kemp Fisheries is moving offshore. This really has a tremendous impact on the economy of Dillingham, and it reduces the number of onshore jobs that people could get here locally, and it also has a potential of reducing our markets. So I really think that the state of Alaska needs to look very carefully at mariculture before it moves ahead. I think before you move into something as ambitious as this, I think the energy of the state of Alaska. When I was a young kid, I sat on the beach with my dad as a young fisherman, and we helped to bring these fish back. We have good managers that have helped bring our fish back here, and we think that there's tremendous potential for continuing to build up and manage and maintain the current natural stocks. The introduction of new stocks would just provide another competitor for feed. It would provide potential damage by health problems that could occur with the new stock coming in and transferring and transmitting diseases to our natural stocks. There are problems of many other problems that I can't even get into right now. I think most of you are aware of. But I really think that the state of Alaska needs to concentrate on the natural stocks. Whatever money you folks have available right now ought to be put into the management over here instead of cutting like they did last year. We lose our database. And once we lose our database, then we have a potential of not managing our fishery correctly. And once we get to that point, then mariculture starts looking good because we've lost our natural stock. And our natural stock has been around for thousands of years, and we don't want to give that up. And until sufficient information is available to the fishermen and to the general public, before a public policy of this nature is adopted by the state of Alaska to introduce artificially reared stock into the system, I think it's a step that has to be carefully taken, and it shouldn't be done this year. There's nothing wrong with debating the
we can more efficiently harvest and produce natural stock. And I appreciate the opportunity that you've given me to air my views. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John, for your comments, Nels. I just want to reiterate some of the opening comments that I made. I said that I was going to try to be objective, and I'm still looking at all the information, but I did have a problem, you know, when our district, when they're cutting our smoke programs, cutting our counting towers, and then also one hatchery in the district is being cut out, and also there's three others around the state, so we've got all your comments, and we'll take them into consideration.
Would the next person from Dillingham please testify?
I'm Harvey Samuelson. Good morning, Ed, and Senator Representative Cotton. I'm opposed to House Bill number 8 because it just creates another user group in the marketplace for us. And economically, it's going to hurt our markets, and especially with fresh frozen markets here all the time. But I'm all for saying with NOSA to take care of our own native stocks first up here, because we don't have an existing cannery no more left in Bristol Bay. They've all petered out, and I don't want to see the Japanese come in and take over any pen-reared salmon here. Ever since they've been buying canneries in Bristol Bay, they've all moved offshore and left people high and dry with no jobs. So as far as I'm concerned, this raising salmon is going to be the same thing. They'll bring their own people in. And that's about all I have here.
Thank you for your comments, Harvey.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. Bye.
Is there anybody else in Dillingham to testify?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to move on to New Aylin. New Aylin, are you online?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't. The people that were supposed to show didn't show up.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to go on. Is Togiak online yet?
Yeah, this is Togiak. I have nobody here yet. Thank you.
All right, thank you. At this time, we're going to move on to other sites that were requested to testify tomorrow and see if anybody is at those sites. Is ULAFC online? Oh, they do? Okay. Sorry.
Yes, but I really don't want to testify until tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to go to Anchorage. Is there anybody in Anchorage who wants to testify?
No. Thank you.
Is there anybody in Valdez who would like to testify today?
This is the moderator in Valdez. There are some people, but they will wait till tomorrow.
Excuse me, Frankie. This is Mabel and Rangel, and I do have one gentleman that will be leaving, and he would like to talk. He won't be here tomorrow.
All right, Mabel, go ahead.
Yes, this is Jim Golden Rangel. I'm the Economic Development Director for the city. I want to say hello to John Sund and other members of the Resource Committee, and thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. We have a lot of concerned fishermen in the Rangel fleet, and last Tuesday the City Council did pass a resolution pertaining to House Bill 108 and Senate Bill 106, and I'd like to read it to you. Resolution of the Council of the City of Wrangell, Alaska, relating to legislation proposed in House Bill number 108 and Senate Bill number 106, Act relating to aquatic farming and providing for an effective date, urging a thorough study of the biological and economic effects of pen-rearing salmon before enacting legislation legalizing the pen-rearing of salmon in Alaskan waters. As the proposed program for pen-rearing salmon in Alaska has the potential of having a negative effect on our existing fisheries and commercial fishing fleet, and whereas the existing enhancement and hatchery program in Alaska has been highly successful to date, and whereas there have been no biological or economic studies to determine the effects the pen-rearing of salmon may have on our existing fisheries economy or the environment of existing wild salmon stocks, and whereas the City of Wrangell has been supportive of controlled mariculture of shellfish, aquatic plant life, and existing salmon enhancement programs, And whereas the proposed legislation encompasses the unknown of pen rearing salmon in Alaska water, now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Wrangell, Alaska. The Council of the City of Wrangell does hereby respectfully request that the 15th Legislature of the State of Alaska eliminate any reference to fish farming or pen rearing of salmon in proposed House Bill number 108 and Senate Bill number 106. Number two, the Council of the City of Wrangell further requests that the 15th Legislature of the State of Alaska support the completion of a thorough study of the economic and environmental effect of pen rearing of salmon in Alaskan waters before proceeding with any legislation directed toward legalization of fish farming. That covers the resolution, and I have nothing more to say at this time. Thank you.
Okay, if you could get us a copy here in Juneau. Thank you.
Thank you, Rangel. We're going to go to Sitka now, where they have one person to testify. Go ahead, Sitka.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Mark Jacobs, Jr. I'm 63 years old. On February 22nd, I did write a letter to Senator Richard I. Eliason. I would like to read that in entirety. Among the older Alaskans, especially the fishermen, we are alarmed at the introduction of Senate Bill 106, and it's also House Bill 108. To date, I find nothing but strong sentiment against fish farming bill. While some say they oppose finfish farming only, and not too much feeling against shellfish, I personally feel the entire bill is a detriment to the commercial fishermen. At this point, I would like to state that I have taken this issue up with the Alaska Native Brotherhood. I have written several of our Native organizations, including the Clinton Haida Central Council in Juneau, which represents all of Southeast Alaska. I continue with my letter to the Senator. For several decades, we lived in the nightmare of fish trap era. I'm sure that you can recall many battles we had against a powerful, well-financed fish trap lobby in Congress. Even a fish farming bill is limited to shellfish only. Such a law in our law books can simply be amended to allow finfish farming. Several years ago, I opposed the law to allow private fish hatcheries. I cited the fact that it would be a violation of our state of Alaska's constitution. The proponents did not give up when the bill was declared unconstitutional. A statewide referendum was put on the ballot to allow nonprofit hatcheries. It passed by a fair margin. There were voters that were casting ballots that were not familiar with our coastal resources. The adoption of the referendum for the creation of laws to allow private nonprofit fish hatcheries does not, in my personal opinion, sanction or allow for lucrative fish farming. I'd like you to read Article 8, Section 15 of our state constitution. Any laws allowing the creation of mariculture business would no doubt be a lucrative venture and will create a few menial labor jobs. But the argument against it would be that it is unconstitutional and it would allow exclusives and special privileges in fisheries. This same constitutional language is further worded to prevent economic distress among fishermen and those depending on the resource for livelihood. The lucrativeness of such a business is not a hidden fact. It would hurt the already saturated fish market. Beware of a soft approach by the investors of the proposal, that is, trial basis only, or limited permits, or designated areas only. The whole package is a can of worms, so to speak. The side effect is that it will severely impact other fisheries, commercial, personal use, sport, and subsistence. Navigation laws alone should be enough to scuttle the ambitions of the financial backers. If they were ever successful in getting a foothold in Alaskan waters, then be prepared to live with a powerful lobby that will view other fisheries as rivals to the market. I speak with a voice of experience from the terrible fish trap era. Please use your vote and influence against the passage of Senate Bill 106. oppose House Bill 108. The Grand Camp of Alaska Native Brotherhood in 1986 convention in Haines adopted a resolution opposing the mariculture proposal, signed sincerely Mark Jacobs Jr. And this is a letter to the senator from Seska area, Senator Richard I. Eliason, dated February 22. And I would like the committee to use this letter as my testimony against the creation of mariculture programs in Alaskan waters. I would like to make reference to the last week's hearing that was listen only, when the Attorney General's office was asked for the legality of creating such a thing as mariculture. They said there is statutory provisions to allow such a thing. But as I read the state constitution, it is definitely unconstitutional. The same procedure that has followed in the creation of limited entry permit, when the Boeing associates, I believe, consultants were hired by the state to declare that it was constitutional to have special provisions for certain people in order to take care of their depressed fishing industry. And now when you look at the limited entry permit, you will notice that only the rich can get into the program. I come from a family of fishermen. At times, as a fisherman, I do not have a permit, nor do I stand a chance to get into it. It has taken away my inherent rights. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The committee appreciates them.
We'd like to go on to some other sites now. Is Cordova online, and do you have anybody there who wants to testify this morning? Yakutat, are you online?
Yes, we are.
Do you have anybody there this morning who would like to testify?
No, just sister.
All right, thank you. Homer, are you online?
Yes, we have people here listening, but they would like to testify tomorrow.
All right, thank you very much.
I'd like to ask the audience if there's anybody here that can't make it either Wednesday and Thursday that would like to testify now.
Madam Moderator and Chairman, we have one person who will not be able to be here Wednesday or Thursday.
Please identify your site.
Excuse me, this is Petersburg.
All right, Petersburg, go ahead with your person to testify.
Yes, hello, this is Julie Hersey from Petersburg, and I've been a commercial fisherman now for the past 7 years. Can they serve me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm opposed to the passage of House Bill 108, but before argue, and I'd like to abstract from a letter. I have a long letter I'll be sending to you. But the main point is that I think the development of any kind of mariculture in the state must follow a careful management plan to minimize adverse effects to the marine environment and our existing fisheries resources. My main argument with this bill is it does not outline any such specific management plan, and too many crucial issues are left unresolved. Now, these issues include possible environmental degradation, adverse impacts on wild stocks of fish, the realistic costs to the state are not addressed, and conflicts over area use by different groups is also not adequately addressed. In order to ensure that the development of mariculture does not damage the environment, it's essential that a thorough monitoring program is in place prior to development. This program would oversee site selection, monitor water quality, conduct inspections of sites to maintain health standards, and control problems with disease. But before such an adequate monitoring program can be designed, before the costs to the state can be assessed, there's got to be some sort of policy on the development of mariculture, which would delineate the ultimate size and direction of industry growth. This bill fails to address controls over size and rate of growth of the mariculture industry. Without knowing the ultimate number of farms, what size they'll be, or even where they'll be, it's impossible to design an adequate environmental monitoring program. Now, according to the Gillespie report about finfish aquaculture in British Columbia, environmental monitoring represents a major deficiency in the regulation of fish farms. In fact, they're mentioning that site inspections are infrequent because, quote, approval agencies are too busy with a backlog of plans to conduct field inspections, unquote. To jeopardize environmental health because of such poor planning is inexcusable, and I think we can learn from Canada's mistakes. Also, if mariculture is to benefit state revenues, then we must have an accurate assessment of its cost to state agencies. Now, the questions raised last week during the testimony indicate that this area has to be addressed more carefully. The number of farms that would be developed would determine the costs in part. And according to Brian Alley, the Fish and Game fiscal note is predicated on 100 permits being issued the first year, with an actual 20 farms being operational by 1992. What if this prediction falls short? Then the costs would go up. But how much would they increase? And does our state have the resources now to cope with a greater than expected increase in the number of farms? It's obvious that before this bill is passed, there has to be a range of fiscal scenarios presented by each agency in order to have a more realistic picture of probable costs, to be able to plan accordingly. In Canada, staff and funding levels have not kept pace with industry growth. Do our state agencies have a contingency plan to deal with the problem if our industry grew beyond present predictions? What will happen if there aren't adequate funds to cover costs? Diverting funds from our existing fisheries management programs is not an option. And I must admit, the zero fiscal note submitted by the Department of Environmental Conservation just mystifies me. While they say they're reassessing that note, and I think that's a good idea, I think this entire area needs more thorough investigation. Already addressed has been the disputes over area use between conflicting user groups, and I'm not going to go over that because that argument's been made very well already. But one question is, how will the decisions be made on that? Will it be on a site-by-site basis? Where will these farms be? Or will there be a comprehensive coastal zone management plan? This has to be addressed further. And I especially want to say that this bill specifically precludes the Board of Fish from participating in site selection, and it doesn't address the question of public participation, and this hardly seems fair. In summary, I say I object to the passage of this vaguely worded bill. I don't believe enough planning and research has gone into determining an adequate environmental monitoring plan to predict the marine environment or our wild stocks of fish. And I don't think the costs have been adequately assessed to the state. I think the great potential for conflicts over area use could create a miasma of problems, and I don't believe we should start this industry and then develop the management plan as we go along. That would be extremely short-sighted and could offer only band-aid solutions to major problems which would arise. I think we can learn from the mistakes that Canada is making. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments this morning. Now, Representative Sanders, a comment.
No, I just want to thank you, Julie, for the effort that you've put in and the work you've and the background work you've read on this, and I look forward to seeing your letter.
At this time, I didn't see anybody in the audience that wanted to participate today, and I'd like to thank all those online that did testify. Welcome your comments before the committee. Is there someone trying to hail Juno?
Hail.
Nothing further to come before the committee. I'd like to adjourn this portion of.
Not that far.